The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
When you're ready to let go of your engagement ring, the experts at Worthy can help you turn it into cash fast and risk-free. They do all the work and their competitive auctions get you the best deal possible.
And the very best part about Worthy is that you are in charge of what happens to your jewelry. You set the reserve price, you approve the winning bid, and then you get paid. And if your item doesn't sell for the price that you want, guess what? Worthy sends it back to you at no cost, fully insured.
Over 60,000 people have already sold with Worthy, and they have 2,500 five-star reviews on Trustpilot.
So go visit worthy.com/notsuck and get an extra $100 when your jewelry sells for over $1,500. That's worthy.com/notsuck.
You watch TV, you watch these guys and gals banging away at keyboards, and they hack the plane in 45 minutes. For the most part, that's Hollywood.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Well, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, and I'm stuck at home with a cold. What are the odds? You guys are in person today, and you look amazing and radiant, and I look like death becomes her. So,
not truly, but I mean, I'm kind of like loving this because the sun is shining in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I've got a podcast guest that's flown in to actually record with us in person. And I'm sad that you're not here, of course, but I love that I'm actually sitting next to the guest. And now we're looking at you on the computer, but that's okay. I'm sitting next to our guest and we're gonna get through it. We're gonna have fun.
Just a little role reversal is all it is.
Right. Here we go. So that deep male voice you guys just heard. No, that's not me and my cold. That is our very special guest, Mr. Stephen Bradley. And because we have such an amazing person with us today, we're not going to waste your time listening to what we are obsessed with and our normal chitter chatter at the top of the show. We are going to dig immediately in because we've got some information that will likely blow your minds, open your minds, and hopefully help you take the steps necessary to protect yourself during your divorce process.
Exactly. So, all right, listeners, take note. This conversation we're about to have is a really important one. So really please pay attention to this one. I was actually first introduced to our guest today in a virtual conference, and there were hundreds of people on the conference. It was one of those, you know, educational conferences for lawyers. And I will say that I was kind of zoned out in general. I was zoned out during the conference. It really wasn't that exciting. I was probably doing, you know, a load of laundry and kind of half listening. And then this guest that we have today comes on, and I will say my jaw rarely drops, but I actually like ran to my computer, turned it up. I was like, what is he talking about? What is it? What? And I feel like I've seen and heard it all at this point in my career, but I have to tell you that I immediately reached out to Andrea. I immediately reached out to him. There were so many people on this educational program that I didn't even know who was talking. I was trying to figure out who it was so I could reach out to them, so I could get them on our podcast. And I said to Andrea, we need this guy on our show.
You actually did. You sent like more than one email. You were like, seriously, have you reached out yet? I'm not kidding. This is someone we need on the show. So fast forward to the conversation that I had on the phone with our guest prior to recording today. I thought, okay, yeah, this is wild. And this information is going to help so many people. So guys, our guest today is Mr. Stephen Bradley. He is the head of cybersecurity at Our Family Wizard, which is the co-parenting app that I'm sure many of you are already familiar with. But what you're likely not familiar with are the ways that you can be protecting yourself online as you navigate your divorce process. So without further ado, Stephen Bradley, welcome to How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. Thank you for the kind introduction, the kind words. It's a very important topic, as you mentioned, but it's also an educational topic for everybody, not just the personal lives, but also professional lives. You know, our loved ones, all of us carry cell phones and technology everywhere we go.
That's so true. And one of the things that, you know, if you're a parent too, so let's just say this doesn't apply to your divorce or your breakup, but if you're a parent or you have an elderly grandparent or parent that you're taking care of, this applies to you. And that's why I had to have you on. Your background is so impressive. And in addition to working for Our Family Wizard, you're also a consultant on these technology issues. So we'll get into that. But I want to make sure our listeners pay attention to everything that you say. So let's start here. I want you to tell us and start out. Tell us about your career prior to coming to Our Family Wizard.
So I've been very fortunate to have a really unique career. So I was a former law enforcement officer, both the state and local level, and then went to federal law enforcement. My background is actually in DV, or domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking, with a component of technology, how technology is being used to weaponize or to create harm, cyber terrorism, network intrusions, child predators, all types of the things we hear about in the media on a regular basis. Right now, we're talking about, a current topic is this data breach, where this classified materials are being released. Well, that's something that we would do and look into is find out how this is actually happening. So it's a really rewarding career, but it's something that I never thought I would be a part of, because when I first went into law enforcement, I didn't know about computers. I basically grew with the computer age, like everybody else did. So.
So interesting. And when you started talking about your background, immediately, I'm sure like so many of our listeners, my mind went to Law and Order SVU. So is that the kind of stuff we're talking about here? The things that we see on TV?
Yes and no. It was no cha-chong afterwards. It is. So some of that stuff is dramatized. It's Hollywood for sure. But yes, today we're going to talk about how everyday technologies, things that we use and see every day, our social media, text messages, all kinds of things that we carry with us, how they can be used to also harm us if we don't take the steps in order to protect ourselves.
Okay, so now let's segue into the divorce land. So what you saw in your former life prior to getting in with Our Family Wizard, what are the commonalities? Like, what are the things that you're like, oh yeah, here's how people in going through a contentious divorce can do the same kind of stuff that I saw elsewhere?
Absolutely. So I say oftentimes that domestic violence and family law have a lot of intersects, because at the end of the day, these are couples going through conflict. Now, whether it be physical abuse, emotional abuse, some type of a conflict in the situation. So in order for me to want to know what you're doing, do you have a new partner, a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend? What are you trying to do? Can I listen to you? Let's just kind of back up for a minute. Look at reality TV, the Big Brothers, the Amazing Race. People are nosy. People want to know what people are doing. When you're going through a bad breakup or, a contentious relationship, I want to know even more what you're doing. Where are you at? What are your whereabouts? Who are you talking to? Who are you texting? Now there's programs, free programs that allow me to do just that. And if you're not aware of that, your co-party, your co-parent is stalking you the whole time.
This is exactly what I deal with in my day-to-day business. I have clients all the time that are saying, how does she know where I am? How does my ex know where I am? How does my ex know this information if they're not stalking me? I'm worried that they're watching me, and I don't know how to figure out if they're watching me. So tell us a little bit about the common ways that somebody could kind of stalk somebody else online and what you see the most of in the divorce arena.
Okay. And one thing, let me back up real quick if I could, Morgan. One thing I want people to understand, the listeners to understand, is these cyber type of offenses where these offenders are stalking you or making you believe you're being stalked, it's often made out to be a mental health crisis. She's crazy. He's crazy. There's no way possibly that could be doing this information. That's something they saw on TV. No, this is very, very possible. So we went through divorce cases. A lot of things we see are trackers, GPS trackers, or now we have what's called crowdsourcing technology with these Apple AirTags and these tiles and different things you can buy at the regular, a Walmart or retailer and put in someone's coat pocket or purse to be able to follow them. There are measures that, the industry is trying to help with that, but on a regular basis, it's something very easily done.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you the top things that I see with my clients or I hear, and I want you to get into each one and tell us, ideas and ways for somebody to protect themselves. So I hear a lot about, I think my car has a tracker on it of some sort. The second thing I hear a lot of is I'm saying things in the house and nobody's in the house and somebody knows what I'm saying. So is there something that is recording me in my house and how do I figure that out? And the third thing is the cell phone. So it could be anything related to they know where I am, or they are following somehow, they understand what I'm texting or sending out. So those are the three things I see in the divorce arena.
Correct. So let's kind of talk about these offenders in the realm of cyber offenders. Most of these offenders do not have a computer background at all. There's no Best Buy Geek Squad member. There's no, you know, kind of computer science background. You can simply Google, how do I stalk my partner? How do I listen to their phone calls? You will be amazed at the resources that pop up. There are YouTube videos on how to do it step by step and how to evade law enforcement. There are websites like Reddit where people basically, it's a conversational website where people talk about different topics, but say, hey, I got arrested for domestic violence. How do I get my charges dropped against me? Or how do I know if my wife is now seeing somebody else? And that's where they empower and find the information out. So all that to say that if I go to Google right now, type in, how do I stalk my partner? The very first tool that usually pops up is what's called cell phone spyware. So again, if your client came to you and says, they're listening to me, they know I'm at the park, they know I'm at the store, they always know where I am. Well, cell phone spyware is probably the number one thing being used today in these type of cases, because for a very little amount of money, as little as $7, I can clone your cell phone. Anything that you do on your cell phone, I get an exact copy of. I get your locations, I get your messages, your texting, your online dating, your social media. I can even activate the microphone on your phone and listen to your surrounding conversations. That private confidential conversation that you're having with your attorney or with your loved one, I now can listen to and monitor that, and you have no idea.
Okay, I want to throw up. Andrea is in her head. Oh my gosh.
There are so many things I want to say out loud that I can't say out loud right now, people. But yeah, this stuff, okay. This stuff happens. So
we got to back up a minute. So let's talk about this cell phone spyware. Tell us how people install it and tell us how you know if it's on your phone and what to do.
Okay. So immediately, yeah. Right. So again, cell phone spyware is one of the number one things we see being used in cyber stalking or stalking type cases, whether it be a divorce case, you know, a criminal case, whatever it may be. So there's several companies out there that offer their services. And the question comes up a lot, are they legal? And what it says is, if you have administrative rights to the device or the phone, this is legal. So if you're an employer and you give a phone to your employee, you can track your employee. If you are a parent and you give a phone to a child, you can track your child. Well, keep that in mind too, because these are divorce cases. What's to prevent mom or dad from giving the child a cell phone or an iPad and installing a program like this on the child's device and tracking the co-parent during, you know, while the child's with them for parenting time? So
would that work the same if somebody, let's say someone's married and they have a family plan? If you have a family plan with your spouse, does that also give them the right to do that?
See, and this is where the kind of contention comes in, because I do not own my spouse. I do not have administrative rights to my spouse. We may be on the same phone plan, but I cannot legally be, you know, her gatekeeper or his gatekeeper, whatever it may be. So they say if you have administrative rights, a guardianship situation where it may be an elder case where I do have guardianship over my mom or my father. But for most cases, it's more of a parent-child relationship than a spouse-on-spouse. It's pretty much illegal, both criminal and civil penalties, to do it to your actual spouse if you get caught. So that's why there's a whole, some people think the juice is worth the squeeze. I still want to find out what you're doing. So they still will try to do it, but because it's very hard to detect once you get it on there. But getting back to your question about how to know it's there and how to get it on there. So one of the things you want to understand is if you're a client or somebody you're working with, or even a loved one, you think there's someone's listening to you, someone knows where you are. What you want to do is look at your cell phone account. So look at your cell phone bill. Look at the data usage. Go back about 3 or 4 months and then look at data usage today. If there's spyware in your phone, your data is going to almost double, but it's going to significantly increase because it's using twice as much data. Every time you send me a message, it sends a duplicate message to the bad guy or to the offending party. So that's one of the first things we look at. The second one we look at is, we've all been on like a long phone call before, and our phone's kind of warm to touch afterwards.
Yes.
Well, if I pick up my phone off the desk and my phone's warm to touch, I haven't been on it, but somebody may have been. My microphone may have been turned on, or someone simply going through files on my phone.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, I have like the goosebumps over here. What about you? Are you like, Andrea is like about to fall off her chair.
I mean, I'm just, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's weird. This is, it's taking me back in time. And I'm like, Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so what other things happen, and then how do we get this thing off our
phone? Right. So another conversation we always have is battery life. So if your battery used to last all day, but now by lunchtime, you have to plug your phone in because your phone's working twice as hard because it's actually something's draining your battery. The fourth thing, and this is kind of a scary thing, but something that I don't want people to hone in on specifically is what's called static on the line. Usually it's within 60 seconds of making and receiving a phone call. And that's where you might possibly hear a static on your line. Well, if that's happening every time you're on the phone, that's not tower interference, because these programs will allow me, it notifies me that my party's on the phone, where I can hit a button and join your phone conversation and listen to your phone conversation. At that time, it's when you hear static on the line. So how do we get it on there, and how do we get it off? Well, it's about how to get it on there. Well, there's a couple of different ways that we know of. One is the obvious way, that you can have physical possession of the phone. We're still in the home together. It's a domestic violence situation, power and control. You go to bed, you go take a shower. I get physical possession of your device. I may be able to install it that way. The industry, like Apple, for example, they're trying to help with this, because now in order to install a remote program like this, we had to jailbreak the phone. But I'm gonna tell you that there's better ways or newer ways to do that, rather than just have physical possession, that gets around the new security. So another way that we hear about a lot is through the cloud. The probably most popular way today is the cloud.
Yep.
Because we'll take like iCloud, for example. Most people are familiar with iCloud. My iCloud is connected to my MacBook, my iPhone, and my iPad. So why limit myself to just one set of information when I can get all the information? Also, the reason why clouds are so easily accessible is because most people still to this day use a dictionary style word for their password. I guarantee you somebody listening to this right now's password is password. Don't do that.
What?
Yes. If I can find your dictionary, if your password in the dictionary, I can crack your password in a matter of minutes. It's not something, no special, you know, law enforcement skill I have. Anybody can do that. There's programs on the internet that are available that people can get your password. It runs a dictionary backwards and forwards until it unlocks your password. Banana, whatever it may be. Again, don't do that. So oftentimes you hear from like IT professionals, you know, uppercase, lowercase, special character, and that's great. But when you're working with somebody that's going through a divorce or contentious or conflict, you're telling them, you're sitting across the table saying, now you have to change your password. They're like, mind blown. Now what do I got to do? So don't get in the weeds with this. Initially, it can be something very simple. Think of a sentence, a Bible verse, song lyrics, something's important to you. I drive a black truck. You capitalize the first letter, use the first letter of every word in that sentence. Punctuation mark is a special character. Mash it together. It's a quick temporary password that's going to not be a dictionary word that we can, you know, easily remember as we type in. There are password managers out there. There's password, you know, programs that gives you this 18 character, 24 character long, you know, looks like, you know, hieroglyphics, but that within your password manager of your devices, it'll allow you to keep those passwords safe. Best case scenario, but on the fly, think of a sentence.
Okay.
And so password managers are safe. We're saying we can still use those, as I know sometimes people get worried about, can that get hacked into?
Well, they are safe. So they're as safe as the device is, because they are encrypted for the most part. But by having, so this is kind of a yes and no. Yes, for the most part, they are safe. But again, a program like this allows me to clone your cell phone. Not only do I clone your cell phone, I can install keyloggers. Every time you type in a password, I can get a password. So then the conversation comes up about biometrics and facial recognition in order to get access. And that's great, as long as you're not going through a criminal case. And that's, we'll save that for a different conversation. So that's kind of the most popular, most common way today in order to install that. The last way I'm going to talk about is probably the scariest one for all of us, because, because this is going to involve a lot of different things that we may or may not talk about today. But one of the things we see a lot is a thing called spoofing. Spoofing, the word spoof means to change. I can change my caller ID. I can change my the name of a person I'm calling you from. I can change my voice from male to female. Oh, add background noises, you know, like barking dogs or sporting event. So this process involves spoofing. So what I do is I put in, for example, Verizon Wireless, and I put in their 800 number on there. And then I will then call you and pose as a Verizon Wireless representative. Hey, we've had this data breach here. Now we have two options here. We can turn off your cell phone and you can mail it to us, or you can take about 2 minutes. We're going to do what's called a browser reset and you're going to be okay. You'll be fine. What they do is they basically, it's social engineering. They're trying to trick you into going to your browser and typing in a web address. If you've ever worked with remote desktop software, where your IT guy will fix your printer from two states away, that's how that works. You go to a web address and he can remote into your device. So by them tricking you to do a browser reset, they are now basically giving you instructions to install the spyware to your own phone.
Okay, this is a lot. All right, so you've just told us how this can be installed. Give us how not to have a heart attack, basically. So, how do we get it off?
So that,
how do we know if we have it?
How do we know if we have it? And then how do we get it off?
Right. Yep. So again, the ways we know we have it is, again, you check your data usage, check your battery life, think about the device being warm, those type of things we talked about earlier. How do we get it off? How do we get it off? It used to be a very, very difficult conversation until recent times, because you could do a factory reset on your phone. But unfortunately, if you hook that device back up to, say, that same cloud or an email address, these programs are going to reinstall to the device. Oh. You can basically painstakingly, manually install everything.
So let me cut you off there. So what you're saying, just to dumb it down for me, is that if you have spyware on one phone and you think, okay, something's up, I don't know what it is, I'm going to get a new phone, and you go and get a new phone, and then you log back into your cloud, you're essentially uploading your spyware from the first phone to your second phone?
Absolutely. Oh, I've had victims and survivors bring me brand new gallon-sized Ziploc bags of phones, and spyware's on every single one of them. It's an auto-find program. Because when you go get a new phone, the Verizon rep or Sprint rep or T-Mobile, whoever you use, they want to be helpful. They want to help you transfer all your contacts and all your data. They don't know. So they're inadvertently transferring the spyware to your new device. So okay. And it never really goes away. And that's one of the bad things. Unless you identify it, it'll be there forever. So we get a divorce or we separate today, I can still track you 5-10 years from now.
All right. How do we identify it?
So how do we get it off? So how do we get this off our device? So we've identified, okay, they're listening to us. They know our locations. Okay. They're possibly using a spyware program. Again, this is just one of many tools. Possibly using this program. The best way, or two different ways to do this, the cell phone industry today is very aware of spyware. You can go to an older established store. Don't go to one that popped up in a strip mall last week. They don't have the old tools. If you remember yesteryear, when you got a new cell phone, they used to plug it into a computer to transfer your contacts. Now it's done through the cloud. That's the computer we're looking for. So go to an older device and say, I think there's spyware on my phone or possibly in my cloud. They can then scan your phone and see if it's there. Well, some people have, you know, they don't have access or means to get to a cell phone store. They want to do this like now. Well, there's a company that I'm not affiliated with, but it's a great antivirus, anti-malware program for mobile devices or for all devices. But for the program, for the sake of this conversation, it's called Avast, A-V-A-S-T. Avast One is the name of that program that I currently have downloaded on all my devices. Avast last year, I believe it was last year, came up with a spyware scanner and remover. So if your client thinks they're being followed, they can simply download this app out of the App Store or the Play Store for Google, and they can scan their device and see if there is spyware on the device. And then it will then also allow them to remove that. If you do find spyware, I highly encourage you to screenshot that and keep that just in case, you know, we need that for evidence purposes later, but then that way you can disconnect your, you know, connection.
I'm typing this in literally as you're talking. Spell Avast one more time.
A-V-A-S-T, Avast One. There's several suite programs on there. There's different like browser security, VPN. You don't need this. And the company's product, like me saying this, you don't need to pay for anything. Their free program is amazing. It works just as good, you know, just It's all we need is the free program.
So let's take a really, you know, I don't know, easier approach. If my client calls me and says, I've just got this gut reaction that somebody is, you know, spying, it's my ex, et cetera. And maybe they say some of the things that you're saying, you know, it's staticky, the phone's hot when I'm not using it, you know, this person knows everything. But maybe they're just like, you know, when you're being spied on, you're so worried to look either crazy or you're so worried that like everything you do is being monitored. So they may not want to go to a store and say, scan my phone, because maybe they feel crazy. Would a better solution just to be essentially, okay, just essentially shut down that phone, do not transfer your contacts or anything from that phone, and literally go and set up a brand new account, brand new phone, and don't transfer anything?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, that's not really feasible for most people. And most people can't afford to go out and just buy another $1,500 cell phone. So if your device is fine, perfectly normal, why not just go ahead and download a free program that basically removes it for you, and you can continue using that phone, no problem. So you don't have to buy that new device.
Interesting. So Avast is the program that will essentially go in.
Avast is the only program I know of to date that actually offers that on basically a free basis that allows you to be able to identify and remove that from a cell phone.
So it will actually tell you if there is spyware on your phone.
That is correct.
Awesome. Okay, I have a question. I'm doing this right now. I'm running a scan on my phone. What's a VPN?
So a VPN, so we're going to talk about how to keep us all safe later, but it's called a virtual private network. So if you use public Wi-Fi, you go to the Starbucks, you go to McDonald's, you go to wherever and use public Wi-Fi, that's a horrible idea, because if you're on public Wi-Fi, anybody on public Wi-Fi can basically see what you're doing. By having a VPN, a virtual private network, you can basically rest assured that when you're doing banking or private client files or whatever you're doing, nobody can see your online connection. So again, they will try to upsell you a VPN. There might be better ones out there. You may already have a VPN. So you don't need to pay for anything within the program. Just the basic free one is all you need.
So where do you get a VPN?
So VPNs, there are free VPNs in the App Store. But I can tell you the ones that are free will kind of tend to slow down your communication slow down a little bit. But there's several new ones out there, several paid ones out there, I should say. The one I personally use is called Private Internet Access, PIA. Used them for years, you know, but they're not very expensive. I get 15 devices, you know, for as little as $30. There's Norton, Proton VPN, Tunnel Bear. There's several out there that, again, you may already have a relationship with, but they're a very good idea to have installed on any of your devices that you basically go on the internet with to keep you private.
Interesting. I mean, I know that our firm, I mean, we're always only on VPN. And that's why because we have a good security network at our firm. But for the normal person who's not at a big company, that's a good piece of information.
Absolutely. It keeps us all safe. It really does. Especially if you're on Wi-Fi, public Wi-Fi. Now, if you have to put a password in, or if you're on like your cell phone's hotspot, that's totally different. But just public Wi-Fi, you go when you join the guest Wi-Fi, that's where you're susceptible.
Interesting. Okay. Let's segue into tracking in a vehicle.
Yes.
So tell me what you see there, how to identify something, and how to get it off. We'll stick with the three ways to do it.
Okay, cool. So again, we talked about the spyware as one of the ways to really try and stalk somebody. Well, for a long time, we saw the use of GPSs, Global Positioning System, which basically is a group of satellites in the sky that give your position away. Well, there's two types of GPS. There's active and there's passive. Active shows me where you are. Passive shows me where you've been. Most offenders that do any kind of research will not use an active GPS. The reason why is because if I recover that GPS from under your car, your purse, wherever it may be, I can very easily track that back to the user or the offender through, because it's transmitting the location somewhere.
But are people in divorce really that smart? Maybe not. Because when I found some of these, it's active, it's going, you know, because they're the average Joe who's getting divorced. That's just like, I want to track my ex, you know?
Correct. And that comes into a different conversation of what's called cyber stalking, which we should probably touch on real quick. Cyber stalking is something that's very misunderstood, but it is a criminal offense across the country. And basically what it means is engaging in the course of conduct to communicate or cause to be communicated words, images, or language through a use of electronic device, electronic communication, directed at a specific person causing substantial emotional distress.
What?
Exactly. That's a lot, but that's actually a statute verbatim, not to.
All right, so tell us exactly what that means.
So basically that means is if you're being a course of conduct means, you know, two or more events. So it's emails, it's social media postings. But these things are causing you substantial emotional distress. You may actually have a cyber stalking charge, you know, against that person. We have this misconceived notion about stalking. We think it has to involve threats or it has to involve the physical, you know, act of following somebody from their office or home. Cyber stalking is totally different because I can stalk anybody in the world from the comfort of my dining room table. It doesn't matter. So these statutes, these laws started coming to effect around 2008 in California, and the most of the country adopted them in 2012. They're not new, but we may be able to use these type of laws in order to help us get us safe. So again, you find a tracker, what do I do with it? You may be able to call law enforcement and say, hey, I found this tracker. I'm going through a contentious divorce, or I don't know who this belongs to. And they now have investigators that are basically cyber investigators that can backtrack those and find out who the offending party actually is.
So, okay. A lot of my clients who have had these issues believe they have a tracker on their car, but are unable to locate it. So tell us if somebody believes that their car has some kind of tracker, either what to look for or where to go to see if someone can find it.
For sure, for sure. So part of that conversation that you just mentioned is also where GPS is transitioning today as far as like tracking your partner. It was called crowdsourcing technologies, these Apple AirTags, these tiles. Well, these do not work off a satellite in the sky. They work off the crowd, my phone and your phone and his and hers and theirs. So it works off of the crowd, Bluetooth, you know, Wi-Fi, whatever it may be. So part of the conversation is how to find and detect these things. When this first came up, Apple came up with what's called anti-stalking measures. So now if you have an Apple type device and I, you know, put an Apple AirTag in your purse, within 2 hours, you're supposed to be notified that, hey, this tag is following
me. I've actually had that notification happen to me. I almost fell over. I was so stressed out. But it actually was one of my son's friends had it in his backpack when he came over. And it alerted my phone. It said, basically, you are within X amount of feet of an Apple AirTag. And I don't have any Apple AirTags. So I started picking apart my house thinking someone is stalking me. But it was just this little guy's backpack. But I like that. I appreciate that because people think that you can just throw an AirTag on something and not be alerted.
It is. And inside that program, the notification is actually a way for you to find that tag. And it actually tells you it's 5 feet to the right, 5 feet to the left. It'll actually help you kind of pinpoint that down. But I'm going to tell you the number one thing we see today in family law cases, even divorce or DV cases, are not Apple AirTags. They're Apple AirPods.
He's showing us an Apple AirPod, which we all have.
So again, how inconspicuous is this? If I put an AirTag into Morgan's purse and she finds that, she knows somebody's tracking her. Somebody's following Morgan.
Right.
But if I'm her spouse or I'm her partner and I drop my AirPods in her purse, babe, I've been looking everywhere for those. I had no idea where they were. So it's very non-conspicuous. But all I'm doing is tracking you with these AirPods. But again, go back to the conversation about the children. How many children get AirPods for Christmas or for a birthday from one of the co-parents? I can now again track your locations or my co-parents' locations with a set of AirPods. Huh. So they work as very similar technology. So with AirPods, again, and AirTag, you'll get that notification. But let's just say that I'm a savvy creeper and I see you sitting at the bar and I notice that you have an Android phone and all I have is an Apple AirTag. Well, I know that Apple does not talk to Android. So I can put my Apple AirTag into your Android phone now and possibly be able to follow you home or do a number of, you know, things I want to do. So how do we stay safe from that? Well, Apple, again, they stepped up and said, okay, well, you're right. So now within 72 hours, you're going to get this audible tone saying, hey, I'm here. But that Apple AirTag's in a location that's under your car, in the gas door, somewhere you're not going to hear that. It may go undetected. But if I say a lot can happen in 2 hours, a lot can surely happen in 72 hours. So to answer the question about how do we stay safe, how do we keep all of us safe from this? How do we go to an Airbnb and know there's no hidden recording device inside the Airbnb? There's apps out there that are available in your app store. So for example, the Tile app. Again, I have no affiliation with Tile. The Tile app, you don't have to own a Tile. Just download the app to your phone. Inside the Tile app, they have what's called Scan and Secure. So when you download to your phone, you basically hit scan. It'll scan a 25-foot radius around you and let you know if there's a hidden camera or hidden tracking device around your person.
Okay, so hold on. So hang tight. I'm getting excited because this is such good information. But so Tile, going back to the car, you said that this can even help with the car, but it also can help like in your house, because we have two, I have two issues. I have car tracking and I have house tracking.
Absolutely correct. They have anywhere that location or that tracking device actually is, will help with that. It can also help find hidden possible, you know, recorders inside the residence. Wow. Anything that's transmitting any type of a signal, it may be able to help find. There's another one called crowdsourced GPS scanner. And what that does, why that's a good one, is because if you have an older device, if you're in a situation where you're going through a family violence case, you may not have an iPhone 14. You got a donated phone, like old iPhone 4 or 5. Well, the new apps do not support older devices. What this particular app does, they make an old version and a new version so that to help keep us safe to detect these type of trackers in the situation.
Interesting. Okay, hold on. Going back to the car issue. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with car and then talk a little bit about the house. But I think Tile kind of hits both, the Tile app that we're talking about. Sometimes I've had clients actually take their vehicle to either a body shop and or the police station and ask for them to scan the car. I have had a few times when it's popped up and there's some kind of tracker on it. At that point, I always recommend to my clients that they call the police immediately. But are those two valid options for people as well?
Absolutely. There are valid options to do that. A lot of times some agencies do not have the resources or manpower to do that, especially in today's day and age, but that is always a good resource. Most drug interdiction units are trained in finding hiding places in vehicles. So if there's a hidden tracker or a hidden cell phone inside the vehicle, they'll be able to help find that. But by downloading an app like this for yourself, that's free, you may be able to kind of minimize that and kind of do a lot of that yourself inside the, yeah.
And since you also work as a consultant, if we have listeners right now whose mind is like their brain has left their body and it's sitting next to them because they're overwhelmed and they're running on emotions and anxiety, are you able to step in and help guide people who are like, I listened to this episode, I have no idea what to do and where to start, but I think I need help?
Absolutely. We can definitely do that. And not only can I do that, there's a lot of experts out there. Private investigators can do that. Some people may not have the financial resources in order to do so.
Right.
So that's where law enforcement may be their best, you know, option, saying, hey, I think there's a tracker.
Yeah.
But again, remember, there's a still stigma of mental health. As Morgan mentioned, she's crazy. I feel like I'm crazy. I don't want to go tell the cell phone guy this. I'm crazy. Well, that's not necessarily the case.
Well, and that's what I wanted to talk about as well, because, you know, for people who are thinking like, why does any of this matter, right? Like, why is somebody doing this beyond just trying to get dirt on me because they want to know everything that I'm doing? I think what's important to talk about is that this is used as a tactic to make you feel crazy as well, because if you are weaker, then they feel more powerful and they think that on some level, they're going to find something out on you that's going to hold up in court. And Morgan, that's where I want your opinion here, because does any of this actually matter? Like, is anybody ever going to get information about somebody, right? And be like, I knew you were there and you said you weren't there. And now I'm going to take all your money and the kids.
So there's the kind of two things built in there. One is, can they use the information that they've obtained essentially illegally? And it really depends, at least where I am, on how they obtained it. Is it your personal device that you own that somehow they broke into? Then in my mind, that would be illegal and should not be disclosed or brought into court. If it's a joint computer that you just left all this information on, or a joint iCloud account, the law is a little bit more gray where I am right there. But I will tell you, and this is why it's important, that if you find any of these trackers, do it the right way. For instance, what I don't want to have happen is that, and I don't recommend this for a client, is them to do it on their own. So for instance, they're like, I think there's a tracker in my car. I'm going to rip apart my car and find it by myself. And then I'm going to find it and I'm going to call the police and no one else has witnessed it except me. Well, then there's this doubt. Did you place this tracker on your car? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it, for law enforcement, Stephen could probably talk about it, but it's, you know, the chain of, you know, command or who has handed off what to who. Mm-hmm. So I always recommend have a witness, video it, and make sure that you call law enforcement, because I can assure you that any judge you're in front of, when they find out that your ex is stalking you and cyber stalking you and doing the inappropriate things that they're doing, the credibility for your ex is going to go out the window and the judge is not going to forget that. Right. So it does give you some leverage in your case if you find something like that.
Absolutely correct. I agree with her. And there's a chain of custody for that. I'll give you an example. Another thing that we see a lot too are the Ring doorbells, because these are very, very popular today. You know, but they say that if the Ring doorbell is inside the home, well, under the Fourth Amendment, we have the right to privacy in our homes. But if that Ring doorbell is out front and it basically captures an argument, a pairing time, you know, substance abuse, whatever it may be, can that footage be used in that type of case? So those are where the arguments come up as far as what's admissible, what's not, two-party consent, single-party consent. So look at your area, look at the laws that pertain to you.
We use the Ring doorbell footage all the time. And when I have difficult, I think we've talked about it on our podcast, when we have difficult transitions with kids your ex, I always say put a Ring doorbell on, because you're monitoring and it's videotaping everything. So if someone's acting inappropriate, it's going to catch that. And then at least it's not your word against theirs. There's a video.
Okay, I have a question. What's the deal with Alexa?
Alexa, well, I got to be careful here. So, if you do some research,
listening to me right now, should I go unplug her before we have this conversation? Because I don't want to have to pay for this later.
So similar to that spyware we talked about. So yes, our devices do listen to us. They supposedly are listening for this magic word, you know, hey Alexa or hey Google or hey Siri, whatever it may be. Well, in order for them to actually operate, my Siri's going off.
My Alexa's lighting up too.
all of our listeners are probably like, yeah, my Alexa's, darn it. Okay. So in order for them to be able to pick up, detect that, they record certain amounts of information prior to. Well, there's belief that they do record on a regular basis. There's a homicide that occurred several years ago now. I believe it was in Arkansas, where a gentleman was actually murdered in a hot tub. And they suspected that Amazon Alexa captured the whole homicide. They were trying to get that information from Amazon. Through what wonderful lawyers do, everything was suppressed. They were unable to get that. But remember one thing when it comes to these type of devices, it's not just one device, it's several devices. In that particular case, even though they weren't allowed to get the Amazon, you know, information, the Alexa information, the home had a digital water meter on it that showed that at 1:30 a.m., they used 1,500 gallons of water. Well, why did they do that? Because he was murdered in a hot tub, where they drained the hot tub and filled the hot tub at 1:30 a.m. So that digital water meter was the evidence they needed, the cyber evidence they needed for these type of cases. So cyber information, cyber evidence is called ESI, or electronically stored information. This was a legally adopted term in 2006. All these devices, our Ring doorbells we have, Amazon Alexa, smart TVs, all the things we have digital components that we can use for evidence. I'm kind of getting off topic there, I'm sorry. But to get back to your question, Amazon Alexa, smart TVs, they're only basically as good as the users. Today, what I mean by that is most of us, or basically my generation for sure, we've had multiple tech devices. So it's not really your fault, but it's kind of this false sense of security. So I've had the pagers, I've had the brick phones, I've had the razors, all the way now the smartphones. Same with the Wi-Fi routers. I'll give you an example. Tonight you go home and your Wi-Fi router is no longer working. So you go to the store and you buy a new Wi-Fi router. You type in 192.168.1.1. That's how you get into your router. The username's admin and the password's either password or it's blank. Now you get access to the whole network to set up your home network, your Ring doorbells, your security cameras, your smart TVs, whatever it may be. Well, the very first page that comes with that, nobody ever reads that. It tells you, you must change this information, or anybody can sit in your driveway and type in 192.168 and get access to your network. So unfortunately, when it comes to these type of devices, like you mentioned, we are our own worst enemies. That's where social engineering comes in. When you watch TV, you watch these guys and gals banging away at keyboards and they hack the planet in 45 minutes. For the most part, that's Hollywood. But to hack a person, most people park in the same parking space every day, same grocery store, same coffee shop, or creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. So that's where our devices, our home devices, become vulnerable.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now that we've hit what to do with regards to if your phone is being, watched, what to do with your car and what to do with your home, which is really the three things that I see most in divorce. I just want to know, I feel like we could go on forever. Absolutely. And scare our listeners forever. You're scaring me, but I have one more question on what to do. But before I move, and what I want to move into is how to protect your children, because a lot of listeners have children, and regardless of divorce, they want to protect their phone. But tell us what, in a divorce case, what do you see is the motivation behind this stalking? Are they attempting to prove something in court, or is it a control issue? What is the main motivation?
Well, it's actually kind of both. It's one of those things that I may not be, totally fine with this divorce. This is not an amicable divorce by no means. And I want to try and find as much dirt, smear you. You made me look bad. You left me with the kids. There's all kinds of different motivations behind that. Most of it is for gathering that evidence. I think it was infidelity involved. You were cheating on me. So I now am going to get evidence to prove that you were cheating on me. In some states, that's still, grounds for this divorce, or in your favor for custody, a number of things. So majority of it is to weaponize the outcome of their case, how they can actually support their claims or whatever they want to be. So again, that's where it comes into manipulating. One of the things we didn't talk about, we need to talk about really quick, because it happens a lot, that spoofing conversation. I can go to court and say, Your Honor, this person has texted me and called me 14 different times. Another person's like, I never called them. I never did that. Well, how do you prove and authenticate that? How do you know who's telling the truth? There are free programs out there that allow you to call yourself or text yourself. I can delay a text. I can sit here and get a text message from Andrea in 15 minutes saying, hey, that was a great podcast. Thanks for doing that. And she never sent me anything. I can call you as Andrea, change my voice, pretend to be her. So to try to go to court and say, Your Honor, here's all these horrible messages my partner just sent me. That goes into the conversation of why I work for Our Family Wizard as well, and how we have a messaging program that you cannot change, you cannot spoof, you cannot alter. So everything that you know inside that program is 100% safe. That's one of the biggest things we see when it comes to manipulation. It's for that evidence or to manipulate the outcome in their favor.
Okay, so if it happens, because that's some diabolical, going on, manipulating the text messages, especially for us divorce lawyers, because we don't know a text looks like a text. So we don't know. And then we have a client that's saying, I never sent that. And then we're trying to figure out, all right, what is going on here? So what if we call you and we say, this is what the client's saying, we're getting all these wacky text messages that we don't think are authentic. Are you able to come in and help us with that?
Yes, we can definitely do that. And actually, a lot of us can do the same thing. So if we want to prove, let's just say that we're both sitting here and Andrea is saying that, no, she did not call you. And you saying, yes, she did. You bring up your phone bill and your phone bill shows that Andrea called you. Her phone bill says that she did not. So that's the very first thing we do is we look at the phone bills. There's always going to be incoming and outgoing transmissions or data transitions on that. Well, if one person has 14 incoming calls or texts from this person, that person has no outgoing, that's when you want to go look one phone number above and do legal process on that. That's going to be to a third-party spoofing company, more than likely, to change and manipulate the data.
Okay. So, I've changed my mind, listeners. What I think I would like to do, because there's so much good stuff on the divorce front, I think we should almost do another podcast with you, if you'd be willing to come back.
Absolutely.
Just strictly on how to protect our kids with social media and phone usage, because I don't want to give people just a nugget here and there when it really deserves a whole episode.
I agree. And I'm sorry, I did miss the part about the kids. The kids are very important. And for most parents, we don't have time to come home and, we worked hard all day. Now we get our child's phone. We want to spend another 4 hours going through their text messages, see what they did today. We don't have time for that. There are programs out there. One off the top of my head is a program called BARC. BARC is a great parental tool that allows you, it kind of gives you a daily synopsis of what your child's doing. but it also looks for signs of depression, signs for inappropriate activity. It will let you know that this is happening.
So really?
Yes. You don't have to tell them or go through their phone for 6 hours at night while they're sleeping. It will kind of let you know this is actually something to be concerned about. So that's just one example of ways to protect kids.
Okay. So stay tuned, listeners. We will get back with Stephen, we promise you, to do a whole episode on how to protect your children, you know, whether you're going through a divorce or not. It's because Andrea and I are firm believers in the more you know, the better you can do. So we're going to do that for sure. So let's go back to the divorce stalking in different ways. I think, Andrea, this was one of your questions, but I'm just going to lob it out there, which is if you suspect that your ex is stalking you, whether it is online, car, phone, you know, house, what's the first thing you recommend doing?
First thing you want to do is you want to document and actually say, I mean, why do you feel they're stalking you? Are they listening to you? Are they monitoring your emails? A number of things like that. And then as you document that, if you want to talk to law enforcement, again, there's several cyber stalking statutes on the books in several states across the country. They may be able to, yeah, it's a misdemeanor. It's not, you know, nothing pretty, but it's something that helps us kind of move through that case. Have that course of conduct, the two or more events, but document everything that you are feeling. That way you can kind of see a pattern of the events. So one of the things most people, you know, forget about in these type of cases is at one point we actually liked each other. Heck, you might've been in love. So I
imagine that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a divorce case. So I may know the answers to your security questions. So let's just say that I know what high school you went to, what car you drove, your favorite sporting team. If I can answer those security questions, I may still get access to the accounts that you think that are private. So yeah, I'm bringing your emails because I answered your security question and got your new password that you changed. So we had to be diligent, not only changing our passwords, but also changing that type of information. We've all played those games on social media where your friend sends you something. Hey, what high school did you go to? What car you drive? That's a third-party offender trying to get access to your accounts by asking those specific questions.
That's hysterical, because aren't those things on Instagram too? Like, post all this, yeah. Like, tell us about your personal stuff. And then you do it and you're like, okay, now my account's hacked.
Exactly. And that's exactly how they do that. So it's no different than a divorce case where they're doing it basically against a social engineering or manipulation to try to trick you into giving those answers.
Unbelievable. That's a great first step. Andrea, did you have a question?
You know, something that I think it's important to mention at this point, because we have thrown a lot of information at you guys and a lot of things like be aware of this and be aware of this. And what if there's this and oh, this could be happening. We do this show because we want to offer you the information in the most entertaining way so that you can be more informed and not suck at getting divorced. And part of not sucking at getting divorced is trying to be as calm as possible through this process. So we're giving you this information so that you can take action, so that this is not going to make you feel like you are that quote unquote crazy person that they want to make you out to be. So as you're taking these steps to figure out, is there something on my phone? Is there something on my car? Is there something in my house? Like, take solace in the fact, like, we are offering you ways that you can help, but don't let this run you into the ground, because the last thing that we want is to turn you into people whose heads are spinning and then you start acting like the crazy person, because that will affect your divorce case. So I just think that it's important to mention that don't fall into the trap that a lot of these soon-to-be exes are setting up for you. Right? Because a lot of this is just because they want to manipulate the fuck out of you because they can, because they're pissed that you left. And so they're like, okay, he can leave me, but he's going to go down in the process. Right? Don't do that. Like, give the people who are doing this and let them hang themselves. But don't fall into this pattern of, well, now is there this, and what do I have to do? And I'm gonna have tiles and tags everywhere. We don't want you to turn into a crazy person.
No, we don't. And that's
only gonna cost you more money.
Oh yes. Do not do that. That is not the purpose of this. And honestly, if your head is spinning and you're feeling a little anxious from this episode, I have to tell you, I am too. Yeah. And legally, this is what I do every day. But we had essentially less than an hour to get out really valuable information with this amazing expert that flew in to see us today. So we wanted to give you as much as possible. And, you know, with that, I want to talk to you, Stephen, about if people, again, are their heads are spinning, where do they find you? I mean, to me, if somebody has enough funds to do it, it may be worth spending it to have you help them, because sometimes that anxiety or the way they're feeling isn't a good thing. And so spending a little money just to, for peace of mind may be worth it to some of our listeners. So where do they find you?
Absolutely. So again, I work for a company called Outfitting Wizard, which is an amazing company. And they again, a lot of the programs or a lot of the default programs inside their program will combat a lot of things to keep us safe, keep our messaging, keep our locations, a number of things like that. So our, you know, OurFamilyWizard.com, you can always find me there. My email is sbradley@OurFamilyWizard.com, or you can just contact me, Bradley Training and Consulting, same way. And we'll be happy to help walk through this and walk you through how these are occurring. Because again, like you mentioned, this is a scary topic. I mean, my apologies in advance. This is not supposed to be a scary topic. It's just knowledge is power. Know that you have a voice, you have validity. Even if you're professional, you're working with, be a guardian ad litem, an attorney, you know, whoever, they look at you like you are crazy, slow down and say, look, or maybe that person's not the right person for you. I say, you know, you're going to hear some random things out there. Well, if it's important to them, slow down and say, well, why is this important to you? Like, for example, he's got cheese pizza in the back bedroom. We're like, big deal. I had cheese pizza last night. What's cheese pizza? Why are you concerned? Ask the question. Cheese pizza is child pornography. Anything with CP in it, Captain Picard, cheese pizza.
Wait, so, what? I'm sorry.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh. You're going to hear some wild things out there.
Yeah, it's hard too, because, you know, I think everyone wants technology because it's easy. It makes our lives better, but not a lot of people really truly understand it. And they don't know all the capabilities of the phone and that kind of stuff. So I appreciate you coming and giving us some information. All right. So let's recap today so that we can give everyone a big breather and everyone take a big, deep breath before we go into recapping. So Stephen, if we were to give our listeners three things they could do to protect themselves online, what would those three concise things be?
So the first thing I would recommend is download an antivirus, anti-malware program to your cell phone, to your mobile devices, as well as your computer. That's going to prevent me from remotely installing a program through either a phishing attack or some type of a way to remotely install that spyware we talked about to your device. That's number one. There's several
is
free
that
ones.
The app, is that the app that you just told us about, the one that starts?
Avast is one of them. There's several out there. Avast, Avira, there's McAfee, Norton. You may have a free subscription through your internet service provider at home. Use what's good for you. Just make sure it works with your mobile device. So that's one. We cannot rely on our phones protecting us. Our phones are supercomputers. There's more power in a phone today than put the shuttle in outer space. But but we don't think of them that way. We think of them as a telephone. So that's the number one. Number two main takeaway also should be that VPN we talked about, that virtual private network. Go ahead and download to your phone, either a free one or do the paid one. They're not very expensive, but it's going to hide your activity online. It's going to keep you safe. Your banking information is going to keep all this stuff safe, because we've all been in the coffee shop and you see that little guy or girl in the corner banging away at a computer. We're assuming they're doing homework, but they could be simply attacking our devices while we're inside the store. That's, again, different topic for a different day, but protect ourselves by using that VPN. Okay. The third thing is download those. If you think you're being followed, if you think you're being just tracked, he's always at the park or she's at the store, download those apps. They'll go to your, you know, the Tracker Detect app is for Android, the Tile app. You don't need to buy a Tile again. The crowdsourced GPS scanner. There's several apps out there that allow you to detect these type of devices and know that you're not crazy. Know this is actually happening. You can recover it yourself. So those are probably my three top takeaways for this session anyway. But yeah,
no big deal.
You got this.
Kyle, Morgan and I are lying on the ground, fanning ourselves.
I'm sweaty over here.
Oh my God. Like, okay, no big deal. First of all, everybody, we're going to have direct links to what he talked about in the show notes. So don't feel like you have to pull your car over and take notes. We've got you. Number two, we are going to do probably more than one follow-up episode to this episode because we want to make sure that you have all of the information you need. So stay tuned. More is coming your way. And lastly, man, thank you for being here because you are the kind of guest that you just can't find everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, what an honor to be able to give our listeners this kind of information from somebody who like really knows. And Morgan, the two of you together in one room, it's like, what a powerhouse.
You're going to take a picture of this, right?
I mean, holy cow, the damage you two could do. I mean,
we've already done.
That's right.
Taking down everybody. And for those of you who are sitting there feeling overwhelmed, I get it. I was in this. I lived this. It's not fun stuff. And you're going to get through it. This phase of your life is just that. It is a phase. It is not forever. Your entire life will not look like this. We are giving you the tools to help you navigate your way through an icky situation in the most healthy way possible. So thank you for listening to this episode. This was important. This was a lot, but life is a lot sometimes, right? We've got easy moments. We have harder moments, but regardless of where you at, we are here for you. How Not to Suck at Divorce is here for you. We're gonna get you through this. Ain't that right, Morgan?
That's exactly right. And don't forget this, divorce is a marathon. Some days it's day by day, other days it's hour by hour, and that's okay. So when you're feeling low or overwhelmed, come to us because we give you the information that you need to get through it. And remember this, you've got this and we've got you.